It is just about 11 minutes after 7 a.m. And like I promised in the end of the last hour, I have a guest here with me this morning. Millersburg Police. Yeah, it's being a little... You'd have to see our microphone stand is being a little droopy, Drew, today.
It's worn out.
It's tired. It's like, I'm done. And he's sitting here and it's like, roop, roop.
And the more I mess with it, the worse it gets. So I'll just leave it alone.
It's that kind of morning.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody.
Millersburg Police Chief Matt Shaner in this morning. And we're heading into fall.
Yep. Back to school edition. That's what we can call this.
It is. Kids went back to school yesterday.
Yes. Yep. It was the first day. I was up there and it was chaos. But it's fun.
Because, so you brought the chaos this morning.
Yeah. You know, the kids are so used to, and it's funny because I watched like the kindergartners and they all were heading to their kindergarten class and had to get diverted. And the teachers were, you know, directing traffic inside the school, sending the kids which way and trying to figure out where they absolutely need to go. And, you know, you have the happy kids that are glad to be back and the kids that are not.
They've done this.
So,
and
not so much to be thrilled to be there.
Word.
And then you have the parents at home that are probably, you know, that you always hear they celebrate. I think maybe back in the older days, there was more of that. But anymore, you know, the kids run because you go from summertime, you have the kids at home, send the kids to school. But now you have sports things going on. But even that, they have a lot of summer leagues, a lot of summer stuff going on. So from first grade, second grade. Yeah. Like 10 years out of a parent's life is like, and it's longer than that. Don't get me wrong, but it's like 10 years of just constantly running, taking the kids here, there. You know, I know from my experience with my kids, you run them and you run them and run them. And when they get their license, it's like, a little bit less running around.
But then it's worry.
Yep. So the stress kind of shifts, but, you know, I don't think it's near as much the break. You know, you see here people, you know, celebrating the kids going back to school. I don't think it's quite as much as what it is. And obviously, you know, the parents, you enjoy your kids. Next thing you know, they're grown up. And like with me now, I'm getting to run for my grandkids. However, being a grandparent versus a parent, there's a big difference when it's cold, when it's rainy, when it's too hot and you don't want to sit outside. You can be like, you know what? I'm going to skip this game. I'll be at the next one. you know, whenever it was my kids, I was there, however the weather was. You know, I can be a little bit more selective with my grandkids. And they'll be like, why weren't you there? And I'm like, because it was cold. Were you not cold standing out in the field? Yeah, it was pretty cold. Okay, well.
That's why I was there.
I'm not going to sit being freezing. You know, but no, it's one of those things. You get to have a little bit more discretion. But, you know, family members got to go support their kids. Their younger family, whether it's niece and nephews, grandparents, you know, going out and seeing everybody, it really is, you know, a family thing. And for however many years the kids are in, and it doesn't matter. You know, I know quite a few people that their kids are in like dance, which isn't necessarily a school thing. So, you know, they're
running. I was
going
to say, don't say not necessarily a sport because I don't want dance moms out at my door here.
No, not at all. It's a lot of work to
do dance.
And the parents doing that stuff, you know, they run, they go to shows. As the kids get older, they're running even further. I have a friend that runs, you know, he's Columbus. He's doing things all summer long. And it's just... it's crazy. And then at some point in time, you get to kind of chill out and relax and go from there. But for quite a few years, when you're raising kids, it's hectic. it's craziness.
I don't even have kids and I'm still hectic and crazy. I do try to go. My cousin has kids. Her oldest is a senior this year and her middle plays football and wrestles. And I told him, I said, look, bud, I will go to your, I'll try to make it to at least one football game every year, but please do not expect me to go to wrestling. It's not my gig. I can't, I just don't get it.
Yeah. If you don't
football,
understand,
I get
it,
football.
Yeah. If you don't understand what you're watching, it's that much more painful.
Awkward.
But, you know, it's fun. You know, my grandson, he's just going into kindergarten. He's decided he's going to play soccer this year.
Aww.
I went through the soccer with my daughter, with my granddaughter. We'll see if he carries on the tradition of absolutely paying no attention.
Sounds like my nephews. Yeah,
we joked that my granddaughter, the only thing she taught herself was how to tap herself out of being on the field. She would never go after the ball, but she was really busy. And then she'd run up to the coach and go, "Coach, I need a break." And she'd run and get her water. And so we just joked, you know, but now she's progressed. She's not playing soccer. She's going to start doing dance. So that's a whole nother thing that,
well, that, you know, constant movement thing,
yeah, she was busy. She was one of the busiest, well, all the little kids, you know, at that age, it's not so much the competition. You always have a few kids that definitely know what's going on. But a lot of the kids are like, "Oh, I'm supposed to chase the ball." And it's
what?
Like, yeah, that's the purpose of the soccer game.
Oh, look, butterfly.
So yeah, it's fun. You know, that, and it's neat to watch them progress as they work their way up. So, from being kind of clueless or being shy, not wanting to do things. And it's funny how the shyness follows them wherever it goes. You know, they don't want to touch the ball. They don't want to be in the mix. They don't want to play, you know, swing at the ball. You know, when they're batting, they don't want to do this. And things progress.
It is fun. Like the boy that plays football, he started in soccer. And he played baseball too, but that lasted like a year. But soccer was several years, and his older brother used to play soccer. And I'd go to, so I don't understand. I understand soccer more than wrestling, but see him progress from like soccer to football. And now, you know, he goes to Norwayne. So they are tackle football from the time you start till through high school. So there's none of that flag football stuff. It is smash them up, bash them up. And so just to see, because he's such a kind little boy, go out there and start smashing people in the field. It's been a fun progression. I totally get it. And he's not even mine.
Yep, it's neat. And you see the other ones, you know, the kids when they're really young and you're like, man, they know what they're doing. And then you watch them and work their way up, and then you can watch them in high school and it's like, wow, you know.
They worked for this. They earned it.
That's really neat that where they are now, you know. And not every kid stays the course and stays, you know, starts in peewee football or out on soccer and does it in high school. Obviously, a lot of things change in the mind of a kid, you know, during those years. And you know, I always told my son, if you're not having, this is supposed to be fun. If you're not having fun, then
don't
find,
do it.
Find something else to do.
That's great, because not every parent recognizes that.
Right. And my son, he figured out he liked making money. So he cut himself down. He played football through high school. But, you know, during the COVID years, he was able to go and work his part-time job, and he made some money, and he thought that was cool. And I'm like, well, at least you understand now, money, you got to work for the money. And, you know, but he stayed with the football thing. And you know, I think he enjoyed himself. He definitely enjoyed, you know, when football season was in, really got into lifting weights. And it was neat because he tried playing peewee football. And he was a bigger kid, and he just couldn't get his head to wrap around this is time to, you can tackle somebody, you can, you know, pound somebody, you have to do it within rules. But he's one of those bigger kids with a big heart. So when he was younger, it was hard for him to get the understanding of that. And he was like, you know what, I'm just not having fun. And I was like, okay, move on to something else.
Mom said I could do things if I wanted to, but she didn't have time to take me anywhere. So I had to figure out how to get there. So
yep.
That was, I stuck with band. I had people in band.
Yeah, and I was not, I got hurt in junior high. And so that pretty much ended my sports stuff throughout the rest of my, so I really wasn't a big sports person. Not in generally either. Don't watch a whole lot of it. But tried not to put that out towards my kids. If my kids want to try something, they go try something. You know, and my son, he played baseball. He did wrestling. He did football. Did some track and field, and ended up, the only thing he really liked was doing the football. So, you know, that's what we centered on. My daughter was big into soccer when she was in school. So I'm not a soccer guy. I, you know, kind of, it's one of those things. But, hey, I understand the ball's got to get down there or down there, and you got to make it happen. So,
and you got to kick the ball, not the other person.
Yeah, and she had fun. You know, neither of my kids were outstanding, the golden, you know, sports star, but they had fun. They got to play. And, you know, I think it definitely with my son, made a difference, that team effort and having the team to help support you. It teaches them things. I am definitely not a lot of times you'll see the parents are going bonkers, get a little out of hand over the win lose, but me, it's a game, and that's where it needs to stay. When they can start making money, then you can get serious about things. And I understand the progression where you get, but you know, high school football is fun, is a blast. Let the kids have their fun, and you know, and they enjoy winning just like everybody else enjoys them winning. So, you know, that's one of the things you show them, the sportsmanship, whether it's on the field, them as a team member, or, you know, in the stands.
Yeah. Sometimes I think it gets a little bit much in the young, anywhere under 18.
Right. Yep. But I mean, it's,
but I'm
it's
not
in
a
general.
Parent. I ain't got kids. You know, I ain't got to say
people are passionate, and that's the thing. Me personally, I'm, yes, I love it whenever they're winning. That's great. And it does stink whenever they lose, but you know, it is what it is. And, you know, the biggest thing is the kids are there learning some stuff and they're still having fun doing it. You know, if it gets down to the grind where it's a work, it's a job, it's, you know, it loses the fun of the sports, then, you know, then there's something going on. But, you know, I don't see that. You know, yes, the coach has got to push the kids, and I get that. I totally understand that. You know, and I think around here, at least, we don't have that to where it's over the top, where, you know, every kid is going to be an all-star. Every kid, that, you know, yeah, everybody should shoot for that. Absolutely. I'm not saying that. But they got to work within their talents. And I think all of our coaches, at least locally that I've seen, all go with that. They get caught up in the game too. It is what it's human. It's a human response to get caught up in things. You just got to be able to bring yourself out of it and not go way overboard.
And, you know, for this Friday is first football Friday night.
Yep. And now
I can't believe it's here already. Honestly, like, I don't even, I think I'm still lost in like 2023 somewhere. Like, we were having this conversation earlier before we went on air. I'm like, I don't know what year. I'm like, didn't that just happen? And you're like, no, that's been a while. I'm like, no, it was just last year. And you're like, no.
Yeah,
I'm like, I don't even know what year it is.
Days blend into days and months and then years. And
in the last 2 weeks, I've had one of those naps where, or like multiple naps where you wake up and you have no clue what day it is, what time it is, what what country you're in. Like,
that's probably your reaction from the fair.
We're still in fair recovery
mode.
Yeah,
a lot of people spend a lot of time at the fair, and it takes a little bit to recover from that.
But overall, we had a good first day back to school here in Millersburg.
Yep. You know, we had a couple complaints about, you know, vehicles not yielding for pedestrians. You know, and it's the same thing every year. You know, if you don't have a child in the school district, you probably don't pay attention to when it is, when school starts. You know, you get caught behind the school buses, you got to readjust your schedule. So, you know, just some reminders, like we talk all the time, pay attention. Kids are going to be walking to school. The buses are going to be out picking up, dropping off in the afternoons. Just got to pay attention. And in town, you know, I wholeheartedly feel this way. You know, if somebody would get hit, the driver of the vehicle, obviously it's not an intentional thing. I mean, there's always the exception, but I just don't, you know, and we just don't need that. We don't want that. So, you know, the crosswalks are marked.
The school has a blinky light to cross at.
In front of the school and up on Masson Road 241, you know, they have the, and I think it's along School Street too, that they have where the lights will activate. When those are on, you have to stop and yield for the people crossing. You know, same with a school bus. When the lights are red, you got to stop. I looked this morning because I know there's a safety zone, and I can never remember exactly what the distance is for the safety zone, but it's actually 10 feet, you know, from the front and from the rear of the bumper that you're supposed to stop, you know, at a minimum of 10 feet.
I always try to give plenty of space.
Yeah, and I think most people do. You know, but Holmes County, we have those blind spots. You know, county and ODOT's pretty good about putting the signs out, warning of a bus stop ahead. But it is what it is. It's, you know, when that bus is there, if you're not, especially the first day of school, you never know. There could be a new bus stop added to a route. It could be moved a little bit. You know, you're used to going up over a hill and normally that, you know, the bus is there. Well, now it's down a little ways and you're not even thinking about it. So, you know, the last thing we want is any of the kids trying to make their way to and from school getting hurt. So just, you know, put your phone down, pay attention. It may take a few days for the bus routes to kind of get leveled out. They work on their time. You know, like yesterday, there was a couple buses that were a little bit later than what they normally are, but they were still within their time frame. So it just kind of takes a little bit. You get, you know, new bus drivers or they get new routes, got to work out the times. First day is always chaos for everybody. You know, kids are not necessarily going to be highly motivated. Some kids will, some
they
kids
don't have
won't.
Their routine in yet.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just kind of a work in progress. So the first, you know, couple weeks of school, it takes a little bit to get used to, you know, the added traffic in town with the schools or around the school. You know, just give yourself that little bit of time, pay attention, get off your phone, and watch for that. You know, we always caution about, you never know when a little kid's going to dart out in traffic anyway.
They are so unpredictable.
But definitely, you know, in the mornings, in the afternoons, keep a watchful eye out during that time. If somebody's in the crosswalk, yield to it. You know, it's the driver in the vehicle's responsibility to pay attention, not to, you know, hit the pedestrian crossing the street. There's always the exception. Somebody darts out and things happen and it's an accident and, you know, people don't feel, they feel bad about it happening, but you just got to be, you should always expect the unexpected. We live in an area where there's a lot of animals that dart out on the roadway. So animals, kids, people.
They're all unpredictable.
You never know what's going to dart out in front of you around here.
Exactly. And, you know, we were talking about like blind spots and stuff. As you should approach every road that has blind spots, you never know. It could be a buggy. It could be a bike. It could be a bus. It could be anything. Right. So just being cautiously entering those.
Yep. And there's a lot of, you know, little hills, little knobs that you can't see past. And if you drive your same route, you know where those places are.
And you should know where the bus stops usually are.
And you do know traffic flow. You know, I drive out. I work out in Berlin after I get off work. And I pretty much know, you can tell when quitting time is because the number of bikes on the road, you know, during this time is a lot different than if I was a half hour earlier or an hour later. You just kind of know it. And, you know, there's a couple Amish men that ride bikes that I think I meet them at roughly about the same time. You know, if I'm on my normal schedule, they're obviously on theirs and I meet them about in the same spot.
So I'm not regularly. The only person who like pays attention and like you look for like the people or the cars or whatever
to see if they're the same ones
to make sure like, oh, we're on time today. Or if you meet them at a different place, like that car, you're like, ooh, I'm running late or ooh, I'm running early.
Nope. It's, you know, it's the same. And I have,
I thought I was the only one that was weird and did that.
And I have a parochial school near where on my drive. And it'll take me a day or two to figure out when they're let out. But I'll know because for the last several years there was a pony cart with like four Amish kids on it. And I would pretty much meet up with them in the same spot every day during the school year.
Hey.
I didn't travel that yesterday. I'm not sure. I think they're in school too. I'm not sure when East Holmes started. But
East Holmes started. So,
the
actual district, they started yesterday also.
So I haven't met up with any East Holmes buses yet on my travels.
I hit a Wayneville bus.
So, you know, but like I
said,
I figured we would know if you hit it.
Right. It's on my way home yesterday.
So you meet up with them and you know, you can not set your clock, but you kind of get used to it. It'll be the same thing, you know, with the bus routes. They just got to get it a little bit, get things worked out. Like I said,
shake it out. Day one is always
could be a new driver, new route, added stops. but they still have to run their routes and be at school at a certain time. So, you know, it just takes...
It'll shake out.
Yeah, it takes a little bit to get it in organized.
All right, we're going to take a little break here. We'll be back with ABC News and the Eye on Weather Forecast and more with Chief Shaner from Millersburg Police Department on WKLM. I am back here with Millersburg Police Chief Matt Shaner, and we spent the first part of our time here together talking about school. That's obviously, yesterday was the first day, the big topic, and it's important. The safety of our children is super important. But there is something else we do want to talk about that's going to be happening tomorrow, Monday and Tuesday, that folks should be aware of. Notate some traffic pattern changes for just, you know, short times and know what's going on.
Yeah, so tomorrow evening, night, First Lieutenant Hott will be, his remains will be transported. He's a Korean War
he was killed soldier, in action.
And he was killed in action. And, I mean, it's really, it's a neat story, I think.
It is.
You know, the Korean government, North Korean government turned over the remains. I don't remember how many, but...
He's the 100th to be identified.
Yeah, they were able to identify, and it's just, I think it's really neat because you finally give closure. The people that gave the ultimate sacrifice for our country get to actually be honored. Not that they weren't honored before, but now, you know, it's one of those things you always hear people talking about, if they have a missing family member. You never get your actual closure. It may never be an actual closure, but at least now you have the remains. There's a spot for the mourning. So I just think it's really
honor
neat.
And, you know, really show your respects for them as well.
And I got to watch... It was a while ago. I caught it on the news when they were actually bringing some remains. I don't know if his were included, but there was some remains being flown in to Hawaii, and they, you know, had a big service and everything out there. And it was really neat, and never, you know, gave it any thought to somebody local. You know, it's one of those things, you just see it and it's like, well, that's, and I don't mean to be derogatory or anything. It's neat. It's neat that the progress of technology has come so far that we were able to do this, identify people, give families closure.
Because it's not like Korea had them, you know, it's separate little things.
Right.
Like, they had everybody all...
Yeah, and, you know, they were in containers and they you know, do their medical science
nerd stuff, insert here.
Yeah, research stuff, and they come up with people's, you know, names, identify stuff. The remains and be able to identify the people and be able to get the families their closure. So Friday, his remains are being flown into Cleveland, and then he's going to be transported down here to Alexander's funeral home. And the best I know, time frame wise, is 8:30-ish is what they're saying is when they're to come through town. So and they'll the remains will be escorted. By law enforcement and by, I believe there's...
The Patriot Guard.
Yes.
The guys on the motorcycles.
Thank you. All I could remember was it was the motorcycle guys that do the
And they
the
are
escorts.
Some of the most awesomest people ever. The respect
so,
they have.
So it's
going to
be, you know, it's a big event. You know, it's something that's the family obviously has waited years for. And I'm happy for them. They get their, you know, get their family member back and get their closure that they wanted. The community, you know, this guy he's one of our local heroes. You know, to me, there's nothing bigger than to give your life for the country, for your community. And that's what these people do. And it's just great that they're finally, you know, not just a name of killed in action without anything, to get the closure. So Friday evening, we're going to do the escort. Like I had told you on the break, I'm not sure if, you know, normally when we have a funeral procession come through town, we kind of grab the front end and we take them through the lights and we get them through. Depending on how big this is, we'll be dependent on whether or not I can get in the front of it and bring them through town. But either way, I know there'll be a deputy, I'm sure, State Patrol. And then, like you said, the motorcycle group, along with the hearse. So they'll be bringing them through town.
And folks are allowed to stand along 83, no matter where in Holmes County.
I seen a thing where, you know, I don't know who it was put out by, but they were saying, you know, get flags and stand in support. You did it? Okay.
So there's a couple other people, but I just posted yesterday about it.
I don't spend a lot of time on Facebook. Just kind of cruise it quick and see things. But this was definitely, you know, I had already been notified about this. So I knew it was going on. Like everything else, you know, the time, it's very hard to say exact times, because you just don't know. My understanding is the remains are flying from Hawaii to here.
They're going to Cleveland.
And then you got to get through there, and you know, and I
there's
would assume
there's a tarmac ceremony there.
They're going to get escorted. They'll be escorted from the time the remains leave the airport until they get down to Alexander Funeral Home. And then Monday is going to be the funeral at the fairgrounds.
That's open.
The public is welcome to come and support. You know, I don't know who all's going to be there. We've heard rumors of you know, state and federal people being there. We have no idea. I'm sure some of that is a security issue with those people. They don't want to, you know, necessarily always broadcast where they're going to be. So you don't know how big this is going to be, how long it's going to be. I've never been part of one of these. But I'm sure it's going to be a ceremony, you know, honoring this hero.
There's nothing more, I don't know what the word heartfelt, like, I don't even think that's a word, to be at a military funeral at any point is, no matter how much you try not to
get emotional.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, just thinking about it is.
Yeah. You know, and not to take away from military, I'm a military veteran, but the same you see when an officer gets killed in the line of duty, everybody turns up, everybody shows up. And I've been to one, that I actually had, not part of the officer getting killed, but when I ran the bloodhound for the department, I got sent down to Delaware County, and we ran some trails trying to locate the killer of this deputy. I ended up going, you know, to that funeral, and yeah, that was very emotional, big time. And I don't think this will be any different, even though it's been so many years. It's still, he's coming home.
You're paying respect. You're honoring.
You pay your respect. So, you know, it's going to be a big thing. It sounds kind of bad whenever you're talking about it being, you know, a big thing. It's a big show. It's not that way. It's not for the glam.
It's important to the community, and
we have to figure out a way to show our respect, our support, and honor this person. And so that's what we do. We turn out big and we go from there.
So be prepared when they come through Friday night.
Yep. It'll probably be a long procession. You know, I have no idea how long, but I'm assuming it'll be quite long. You know, we'll have officers the best I can in the downtown area to simply clear out some traffic so that we can get through, because we probably will just simply, any other time we turn the lights red and we go through town. So we won't do anything different. We'll just try to get traffic cleared out and moved out so that it's easier for the procession to progress versus what we normally do.
And while Monday is public, they'll be taking his remains Tuesday to the cemetery in Holmesville. So they'll be coming back through town.
Yep. We'll have
that is a private ceremony, but they will have the procession going back through Tuesday at some point.
And I don't have an exact time on that.
Yeah, I don't either. So
even a normal funeral, I guess, you know, the time frames don't necessarily, it's not strict by the book. You got to be done, you know, right at 1 o'clock. It's a morning process and everybody's pretty flexible. And when it's time to go, we do the escort. So same thing on Tuesday. You know, I'll get there and we'll get them rolling, get them up through the north end of town. I don't know as far as who will be escorting outside of town, to take him up to the cemetery, but you know, we'll get the procession through town as quickly and easily as possible.
And with that, we're going to have to take a break for hometown sports. And we are just about it. You've been doing most of the talking, and here I am. This is probably why I've let you do most of the talking. I am here with Millersburg Police Chief Matt Shaner, and we are, you know, we relatively stayed focused today. We had two main topics, school and Lieutenant Hott's funeral procession and service, which are two very important things that are happening in and happened in our community.
And I think we covered them.
I think so.
Just the reminder, you know, school's in.
Pay attention.
Get off your phone. You know, like I said, new school bus stops pop up every year. And they go away every year. Somebody doesn't, you know, isn't riding the bus. New routes. Time frames get adjusted. You know, I'll notice the morning traffic shifting. Because they want to not get stuck behind the school bus. So you make yourself go a little bit earlier. You know, if you get stuck behind the bus and you follow it, you stop. The one thing that I didn't mention is a passing a stop school bus when their lights are activated is one of the only offenses that we can write a citation without ever witnessing it. We can use the bus driver's word if they can identify the vehicle. Most of them have cameras. And a lot of times whenever we have these, the ones that I've called and talked to the driver, you know, asked them, hey, because normally you get like, you know, male driving a red Chevy pickup with this plate number, call them.
Well, it's like you watched that OSP video yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, was that anyway, so you call and you're like, hey, you know, were you driving here at this time? Did you see the school bus? Yeah. You know, and.
What are you thinking?
Yeah, it's very rarely, at least whenever the ones I've talked to have denied doing it. You know, I've had where I've been behind the school bus and the person's drove by and looked right at me. And of course, you know, then I go and stop them and
flip the lights.
And they're, you know, they're like, I don't know what to do. And
stop.
Yeah. Red light is stop. So, you know,
but that in safety town,
but we don't have to have the officer observing the violation, you know, to write those. And that's a mandatory appearance. You can't pay a waiver. The fine's up to $500 and you could get your license suspended. So, you know, just take a little bit of time and don't pass when those red lights are out. You know, the only time you can do that is if the bus driver would happen to signal you. You know, you're supposed to wait until the bus stops moving before you start going again. Don't pass. Everybody sees, you know, blurbs of the videos on TV where, you know, the car ran around the bus, the car did, you know, or truck, or just don't do it. You know, stop. Just think about, even if you don't have kids, what if it's one of your friends, if you're, you know, younger, what if it was one of your friends, one of your nieces, nephews, one of your, you know, just don't. You don't want to take a chance because kids are unpredictable, just like animals. You know, you never know. They're supposed to go the way they're supposed to go, but things don't always work that way. So the safety barrier, that 10-foot, you know, safety zone, give it more room than that. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, and it includes like on South Washington Street by the trailer park, pulling out from like where Dollar General is. If the bus is stopped and it has its red lights out and you're within that area, you could get a ticket just the same as somebody that's, you know, going north or south of the bus. So.
Because in that situation there where you have that turn lane, you still have to stop no matter what lane you're
correct.
In.
Yep. Yeah, we have nowhere in town.
That qualifies that,
yeah,
to not
I'm
have
trying
to
think,
stop.
I don't think we have anywhere in the whole
Holmes
county.
No, we do not have
because
a four-lane divided.
It has to be a four-lane divided before, as long as you're going the opposite direction, you would not be required
all
to
ones
stop.
Going in the direction
but the
stop.
Same direction, you do have to stop. But in Holmes County, we don't have that exception anywhere, so at any point in time you see a bus stopped, you need to stop. And if you're not sure if you're going to be in the violation, you know, if you're trying to turn right or left and you're not quite in line with the bus, the best thing to do is to wait. It usually doesn't take a few minutes.
Just, you know, have a little patience.
Yep.
A child's life is worth more than you
yes.
rushing.
Yep. You don't want to be, you don't want to hit a child.
You don't want to be that person.
Yeah, exactly. So be safe.
on that note, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
That was Millersburg Police Chief Matt Shaner. We're going to take a moment here and we'll be back with Hometown News.